Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. This week's scripture is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, which says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine."
Yeah, and so that verse, I think we're going to do a scripture, you know, of the week every week. And I actually went to high school with this guy. His name is James Tony. He's an unbelievable dude, but it's with Tony Financial Services. Tony Financial Services is a wealth management firm that specializes in biblical wisdom and incorporates biblical responsible investments into financial planning and wealth management. They're members of the Kingdom Advisory Network, and they're just... they're good people. I can vouch for James Tony because I've known him since literally high school. But a good way to kind of learn and partner with someone that can help you grow your finances.
Yeah, the Kingdom Advisory Network, that's a solid group.
You have to get like registered. Like you have to be like...
I know some guys who are part of that. They are legit.
They're legit. Too legit to quit.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today we're talking about some of the famous stories of Jesus.
And he taught in stories. We love that. So just teaching you how to interpret the stories, and sometimes we hear them over and over again, but like take them in, you know, how does it land on our hearts, and you know, how can you receive messages in different ways?
Jesus was the greatest storyteller of all time. Nicholas into the NBA playoffs. Y'all watching the playoffs?
Oh yeah, the Pollock family is basketball players. So
yeah, y'all are.
So Lee is such a hooper, and then Nicholas, so we like to watch. So every game that's on, we watch. I mean, we love to watch the different teams.
I love watching Steph Curry.
It's hard not to.
I love watching that guy.
He's fun.
So who do y'all think is going to win? Do y'all have like...
the Celtics or the Thunder.
Okay.
I think the Celtics, obviously, their roster is just insane. I mean... Peyton Pritchard's fun to watch. Have you seen that cat that comes off the bench? He's good. Yeah. And then I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He reminds me of a Kobe. Like he just...
he's taller than you think, than he looks.
He's tall and slender, but he just...
he's like a little guy, but he's like 6'6", isn't he? 6'5"?
6'6", 6'7", probably. Yeah. But all these dudes are mutants. You meet them in
person.
Yeah,
you don't realize how big they are.
You have no clue. It's just, it's a land of giants. Like it's crazy. I mean, I knew LeBron was big, but I remember like meeting LeBron. And I was like, I mean, this is like, you think about like the biggest guys in football are these tall offensive tackles. They're enormous, and he's every bit as tall as them. Like he's taller than them, and you're just they're just enormous. Yeah. I mean, they're huge. So yeah, it's different. You watch them do things. That's why the relating to them jumping all over the place, dunking, is not really something that we can all do. Like every time, it's funny. My wife now, you know, every time she's like, "God, that would be fun." We're watching the playoffs. She's like, "That would be so fun. My next life, I want to be able to dunk."
Do you think NBA athletes are the best athletes in the
best
world?
Best athletes on the planet.
Yeah,
I do.
I would make that argument. Yeah. I would agree with you.
I don't think they're the toughest. I think they're the best, though. I mean, it obviously takes like a different level of physicality and toughness to play. Oh, yeah. Quickness, side to side, like just all levels, all encompassing. That if you did like a combine and you took those guys, like, yeah, I think you're going to get the most. You might not get the most top end speed, but you're going to get a ton of, and length. I mean, just like we talked about.
Yeah, some of those guys have like the wingspan of like seven.
Yeah, when you have footers, 7 foot wingspan, yeah, and you're 6'6" and you move your feet quicker than everybody on the floor, like that's not fun to guard. Like to be guarded by that. Like, and that's a different thing with different eras too, right? Like this era has a ton of those guys. Yeah. And that didn't used to be a thing back in the day.
You gotta be that good to play in the game when it's fixed, you know?
Yeah, for sure. West, game's rigged. West just said you gotta be that good when you play in a game that's fixed.
Hey, so you're speaking the first lady's language. She thinks all NBA is rigged, like pro wrestling. She thinks it's fixed.
It is? I wish you had a mic, because I kind of want to know if you're serious or not. You're 100% serious?
Like Jennifer's 100% serious that it's fixed.
Listen, bro, I love your wife. I'm not listening to her talk about basketball, but like, I mean, Wes, I will consider his opinion. If we're breaking down birds and the different type of birds, I'm all in. She can tell me all about the birds, but like, I'm not super interested in Jennifer's.
You know, we were watching the other night that she was asking me if it was fixed. Savannah Bananas. It's not real.
By the way, that is fantastic.
Isn't
baseball.
Isn't it incredible?
That's the best baseball. That's the best baseball that
they're pitching like every. They don't even waste any time.
You
have to do a trick play every time.
Dude, like the scoring is amazing. You just play by the innings, so you stay in the games the whole time. Like it's, I think it's brilliant. I think it's better than the other baseball.
They were showing them. They were playing in Clemson football stadium.
Yes.
And they were hitting like the left field was like 150 feet.
So what? It tanks.
They were just hitting bombs.
How about no walks?
Yeah, and like, then you can you can get to second.
Yeah, no, you can take as many bases as you can. Like it's fantastic. Like,
she was asking if it was rigged, and I was like, I don't think you can rig certain. Like it just happens.
It's awesome.
Like it's rigged, but it's not.
It's fantastic. Because if you haven't seen it, I promise you'll enjoy it.
And one dude out there on stilts.
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters for basketball.
Yeah, it looks fun. So. Well, you want to dive in today?
Yeah, whatever you got. I'm sure you got something over there.
So I want to talk about the parable of the sower, and it's interesting. Jesus taught in parables, and then he would go back and explain it to the 12, explain it to the disciples. But
so why was that important? Like, if you're teaching, I think that if you're a person that's a speaker or a teacher or a leader, like I think it's important that you understand that. Sorry to cut you off already, but like. Stories stick.
I'm used to you cutting me off.
You should be. Stories stick. Like, people remember stories. I think that's the whole reason Jesus taught like that. I think it's, you know, to tell you and to have a cadence and to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. But, like, to tell stories about people, I think it's about people, about things. I think those stick in your heart and in your head so much better. And I know I remember when I go speak, people are always want stories.
They want to hear the stories.
So I think it's important that. I think that's the reason he did. I think it was obviously purposeful.
And as far as speaking goes, you can learn a lot from Jesus, but he was the greatest storyteller of all time.
Not debatable. It's not like LeBron and Michael.
It's not debatable. I'm actually starting to lean more towards the LeBron in the argument because of the longevity.
I've never wanted to slap the piss out of you more than I do right now.
I thought you were a LeBron guy.
I love LeBron.
LeBron. I was jumping over on your side. I was throwing you a bone.
I am not on LeBron's side. And
you're on MJ's side?
The fact that you just said that, I want to slap you right across the grill. Are you serious?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Career.
But I like MJ better. I mean, MJ's
If we're going to go like career achievement award, like, and give the participation trophy. Yeah, he played longer. Like, LeBron's played longer and had more sustained success, more numbers. But, like, that doesn't make him better than MJ. MJ's career.
I mean, I'm agreeing with you.
I still think MJ's
better. I was throwing
better.
You a bone. I thought you were a LeBron guy.
I mean, I love LeBron.
I'm always about MJ.
All right, let's get back to Jesus.
So, yeah.
I was about to slap you, so I'm glad we fixed that.
I'm glad we can agree on something. Yeah, I was throwing you a bone.
I disagree.
So, the parable of the sower, and Jesus, a lot of his stories had to do with agriculture, had to do with seeds and harvest and planting, and
obviously that was more prevalent back then.
You got a garden out back?
Absolutely not.
You're not planting tomatoes. And
Lindsay tried for a season; it didn't work out real well.
Yeah, we always had a garden growing up at my house.
I would love to have a garden. Like, that would be fantastic because I would love to eat the vegetables out of it and, like, the fruit out of it if you could do it. Fruit's different, but, like, we kill everything. Mm-hmm. Everything dies.
There are different seasons to life. I know we interviewed Mac Powell in last week's episode, but I like how I was fascinated to hear him talk about his creativity and how it worked and how he said different ideas come to him in seasons.
Yep.
And I'm like that too. Like, there's certain seasons I'm more inspired and creative and have fresh ideas, and then other seasons I got nothing.
Yeah. I don't know about. Don't you feel like that's normal though? Like, I feel like everybody's like that.
I think everybody works differently.
I think there are some like exceptional examples of people that like just.
I'm not the kind of guy who is like, on Tuesday morning, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to grind it out. Like, whenever I'm inspired to write a message, I just have to wait till I'm inspired. And whenever that happens, it could happen at 2 a.m. Or, okay. You know, it's like I just have to do it when I'm – I can't force it to happen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm more of like the – I think you get it done. You got to get it done. You got to get it done.
But at some point, you got to get it done.
Well, what I've found is a lot of times when I sit down and make myself do it, then I become inspired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just – I think I have to make myself do it. I have to make time. I have to be intentional, or else I'll just keep going and living and I won't think about anything and I'll just keep doing. And I'm not very forward thinking, I guess. So I have to sit down and do it.
So the parable of the sower, we're looking in Mark chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole parable. I'll just summarize it. And basically he tells the story of a farmer who throws out seeds and he talks about four different soils that the seed fell on, the path, the thorns, the rocks, and then the good soil.
And the good what?
The good soil. It's kind of like changing the oil in your car.
But it's soil.
But yeah. It's soil.
Gotcha, sorry.
Yeah, it's soils and soil. Souls.
Under the soles of your feet. Under the soles of your feet.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah. I'm really getting confused.
We need
confused.
To get Wes a mic.
I like. Why do you not have a mic?
We need to give you one. Yeah. All right. Anyways, get back to your reading.
Buy that man a mic. So basically, he's saying, you know, God is the farmer. The word of God is the seed that is sown, and then our hearts are the soils that the word of God falls on. And he says, there's the path, the thorns, the rocks, and the good soil. And so really. 3 out of 4 is not falling on good soil. The word of
rock,
God is
not
only,
good.
Like the rock is not good because it says it springs up quickly and people receive it with joy. And I think about people who get baptized and then they make a decision, but then they don't put the roots down. They don't grow in their faith. There's no soil to put down the roots so they can grow healthy and grow strong. And so they end up, the sun comes up and
it's like
scorches
my garden,
them.
Yeah.
And I see that happen, unfortunately. Like this parable brings me a lot of comfort because I've been in ministry now 35 years and I've seen thousands and thousands of people come and go. And I used to take personal responsibility when someone would fall away. But now I realize this parable helps me because it's, hey, Jesus said the word is going to fall on four different kinds of people.
Yep.
You know, the path is the person who's, when it falls on the path, it's someone whose heart is hardened to the things of God. And so it doesn't penetrate. And so Satan comes and snatches it away. And I think a lot of times, you know, the people, I mean, we have thousands and thousands of people who show up to church for Easter. And then the next week they don't come back. And you just hope that the seed falls on good soil and God gets a hold of them. And sometimes he does. Yep. So sometimes he gets a hold of someone and changes their lives. But many times it falls along the path, and then Satan comes and snatches that word out of their lives before it even has time to
take root
and grow. And then you have the thorns, and that's the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth that choke people out. I think people get distracted. It could be stress, fear, anxiety could choke out. You know,
things not going the way you think they're supposed to go. Like, why am I still dealing with this? Why am I not growing? Why is I thought I should be past this, those type of things.
Yeah, or they get distracted by other things, like We talk a lot about travel ball, people missing church for travel ball, or people missing church to go play golf or go fishing or go hunting. Or
side note, you would love this. We were in South Carolina for Leah. She had a basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And they do a couple of these like Adidas circuit ones that are really good, really competitive. And I've never felt so insecure in my life, by the way, walking around, because there's so many women that are so much taller than me. Girls, like, it's ridiculous. Like Leah Center's
high school kids?
Leah Center's 15 years old. She's 6'5". Like the power forward's 14 years old. She's 6'3". Like it's, I saw 6'10", I saw 6'8", 6'7". Like it's crazy. Just so many big girls, you feel so insecure. That's totally not where I was going with this.
Are the college players that tall now? Or are we getting bigger?
No, the college players, taller? The they college are, players are getting bigger. Tall? Yeah, they're getting big. Oh, for sure. Like they're huge. But the part that I was telling you that was kind of cool was we were traveling, but we went to church.
Oh, awesome.
It was fantastic. Like we were in South Carolina. We had to find a church. And so we literally looked up a church and we went to a random church on a Sunday morning.
That's awesome. I love it.
It ended up being an Elevation church. I've never been there before.
Stephen Furtick Church. Yeah,
never been to one before. Totally different. Like totally different. I mean, very, it's more loud and more, you know.
Like a concert.
Yeah, like a concert more, and then, you know, more yelling out and screaming and more, just very, very, like night and day from what we're used to with you. But it was cool because I love Leah got to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
sure.
Another way to worship. Like yeah. We do it different. I was like, how did you like it? She was like, very different. It's like very different than what, but I liked it. I mean, but you hear the word of God in a different way, but it was still fun. It was still unique. It was still cool. Cool to see something different too.
Was Furtick preaching?
Yeah. Yeah. He preached.
Yeah. He did good. He's got a unique style.
Totally different style. Yeah. Like totally different, like kind of awkward, you know, he's kind of like awkward on stage but then we'll just get yelling and screaming, you know, but delivered the word of God. Like he was
very passionate,
dude. He was in the word of God.
Yeah.
It was cool. Good storyteller.
That's awesome. Yeah. Whenever we're out of town, we love to go to other churches, and we have a church in Destin we always go to when we're down there. And it's
is cool. It nice to not have to preach sometimes? I mean, just walk.
It is so nice.
That's awesome.
I mean, I enjoy doing what God's called me to do, but I love just to
relax,
to go to a church where no one knows me and I can just like worship.
I don't know. Everywhere I go now, I hear about Pastor Jay on the podcast. So you're kind of a big deal. Whatever. You might not be slipping.
Well, no
in
one's
anymore.
Coming up to me saying, "Hey, are you Pastor?" Well, that has happened a few times.
Say, hey. All right, back to the message.
Back to the message. And so, yeah, the thorns, the worries of the world. People get, it's just, to me, of the four or of the three negative ones, like the rocks, I feel like a lot of times it's not that person's fault that they've fallen among the rocks, because for whatever reason, and maybe it could be their fault, but they don't get in small group. They don't get in discipleship. There's no follow-up. You know, they might receive Christ, but if you don't have somebody coming alongside of you to help you grow and to teach you and pour into you,
to help you show what it looks like, a real faith to lean into and live on.
An example.
Which, by the way, that's hard to find sometimes, though.
It is
hard.
That's
not an easy thing for people to, like, we all want that, but it's hard to find people in your stage of life, because a lot of people are kids, have kids, and if you don't have kids, it's just different, man. Like, it's... Your schedules are different. Their schedules are different. Work schedules are different. So it's kind of hard to find. I get that. But it's so important to attach yourself to someone like that. Like watch somebody who's got it figured out. Like I'm not saying he's perfect, but somebody who's prioritizing church, small group, relationships, the way they treat people. And then try to attach yourself to them in a positive way.
Yeah, in discipleship world, we call it a life worth emulating. Like finding someone else who has a life worth, like someone a little bit older, and you look up to them, and you're like, I want my marriage to be like that. I want my parenting to be like that. Like that person's a great husband. That person's a great father. Like how can I learn from them? So in our discipleship group, there's so many guys, once they get into discipleship group, and they start getting into the Word of God for themselves. Like they don't know how to do it, so you teach them how to do it. But now there's accountability, there's structure, and over and over again, I hear the same story. Like they'll say, "I became a Christian back in high school or college or earlier in life.
It started living for it.
But I didn't have this. Like, no. If I would have had this then, and you just see them grow. That they're falling on good soil, and so now they're growing, they're taking off. But they always say, man, I wish I would have had this back at this season of life or this stage of life. And so it's encouraging for me to see these guys really hungry for the Word of God, really growing in their faith, getting in fellowship, encouraging one another, holding each other accountable. But I think the thorns, people, it's just so easy to get distracted by the things of the world. It could be career. Like, people get so focused on like making money. Like
we all
making
do it, by the way.
Money is the you most important thing.
You do it, I do
thing.
It, we do it, we all do that. We all get lost in shows. We all get lost in our phone. Like, we all get lost in, like, we all get lost in things that mean jack squat, that are so stupid. And you pick it and you're like, literally, I just wasted an hour and a half of my life. But you still do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all do that. And it's really, that's why we keep talking on here. Like, do your best stuff early. Be selfish in the morning, right? So you can be selfless the rest of the day. Like, get that time with God. No distractions. The hot tub for me this morning. Like, I can get in there for 20 minutes. I can pray. Like, that's my time. That's 100%. It's not a negotiable, right? Like, I got to get that in. Because like, kids, hunger, boredom, all that stuff comes in, and we all do it at night, man. When we look up and we're like, yep, just wasted an hour. I could have been a lot more productive.
So, at the end of my message on the parable of the souls, I got into Hosea 10:12, and I really didn't have time.
I love it because you think I'm judging the way you say it because I make so many comments.
And you're very judgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Yeah. You know, you're not supposed to judge other people.
Yeah.
So, Hosea 10:12. Back to the soils. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." And so the application was to break up your unplowed ground. And so the point I was making, and I didn't really have time to get into developing this, and I want us to talk about it on the podcast. You can be good soil, but your heart can harden. Like, you can be a person who's good soil over the years. And I think sometimes everything becomes so normal to us that we lose the potency of the gospel, of the power of God's word, the power. Like it become old hat to us. Like,
I've read this a million times.
I've read this a million times. I've heard this sermon before. Like, and I do listen to other people preaching, and a lot of times
it lights a fire for you.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times I think, well,
heard that.
I've preached the same sermon myself. It wasn't any different than I've preached. And then other times they might say something. Wow, that really sparked something I never thought of before. But I think sometimes our hearts can get hard to the Word of God. Oh, I've read this before. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. I already know this. And so we have this. I like the idea, he says, to break up your unplowed ground. And so part of what I'm trying to do at Greystone, at church, preaching sermons, the worship music, the videos, we're trying to create an atmosphere where people would be receptive to the Word of God. We're trying to create good soil. And so I think it's our job to make the messages I don't say it's entertaining, but grab people's interest.
But why wouldn't you make it entertaining?
I mean, you're trying to, 100%. So you want people to, you want to grab their attention so that they're paying attention, they're not falling asleep.
Most people, if you don't bring some form of entertainment value, are out, then they're going to leave.
Like, especially in our world.
Yeah, so you got to entertain them. How do you break up the soil?
So that's what I want to get to. Okay. How? Because I had people texting me like, I'm picking up what you're putting down, but how do I break up the unplowed ground? And I've got several thoughts.
Okay.
One of the things I was thinking of, you know, say you own some land and you have this field and you've plowed up some of it, but some of it isn't being used at all. Like, you have some ground that's not even, it's just sitting there. It's never been plowed. It's never been used. It's never been harvested. I think the same thing in our lives. Like we've got some areas of our lives that we've never used it for the things of God. And you mentioned this earlier, but you could redeem some time. Let's just say every night you're so tired. At midnight, you order a pizza and you just watch Netflix for 2 hours. And it's kind of like, I'm just tired. I'm hungry. I'm just going to, this is like me time.
Going to turn my brain off. I need to decompress. I need this time.
What if you redeemed that time and said, you know what? Instead of investing this 2 hours into this Netflix show or video games or whatever,
I love video games.
I'm going to spend this 2 hours in the Word and in prayer and in growth. Like you're redeeming this unplowed ground. Like you've never used that time from 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. for the things of God. So now you're redeeming. Now you're plowing in a field you've never plowed in before.
So changing habits. I think that would be a good way to say it. Like, and again, I mean, that requires what? That requires you being intentional, right? Like you've got to see, if you're going to break up that ground, like you've got to see what the ground is. Like you talked about the type of ground, like some of it's not tilled, some of it's not whatever. You got to figure out what type of ground we're on first. I think you got to see where you're at. You got to understand what are my distractions? Where am I succeeding? Where am I failing? That's an important part of inspecting it first, you know?
So when leading up to Easter, we had 40 days of Lent.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that was breaking up the unplowed ground. But so I was off of social media for that whole time.
You still off?
No, I'm back on.
You know what I love about that? I love so many people like you and other people just together. I'm on social media. It's the greatest thing ever. I'll never go back. I love hearing that from people. I'm like, okay, we'll see you back in a little bit. Like, I use my time so much better. And you're back.
But my point is,
sorry,
I use that. So instead of being on social media, whatever.
You read more and.
Read more, prayed more, studied more. Less. So you redeeming that time. And I think it's the same with, you could, and maybe there's seasons of life where you don't play video games or you don't watch TV or like, I know guys who they didn't watch TV for the 40 days and they're like, I've got all this time in the world. I'm so productive. I'm getting so much done. So I think,
miss video games.
You're not playing video games? Did you?
I quit years ago.
I've never been a gamer.
God, it's so amazing.
I'm not a video game guy.
You get the headset on, you start going to work.
So
with
another thought of harden, our hearts get hardened when we have unforgiveness. And so there might be, you've not forgiven somebody for something, you get bitter and you get, you have a bad attitude towards someone or something or, so I think plowing up that, forgiveness, like another thing is confession. So confessing your sins, repenting of your sins, turning from your, like instead of like always doing the same sin over and over again, that's unplowed ground. You could plow up some new ground there and say, I'm putting this to death. Like say alcohol or tobacco or whatever an addiction could be. That's some, all the money, all the time that you're wasting on that particular sin that has a hold of you, that's unplowed ground. Like you think about people who smoke cigarettes or, well, use me for example, Coke Zeros. Saved a lot of money in 46 days not ordering a soft drink at a restaurant.
Wait, back on that now too?
Back on that. And candy too. I'm kind of back on the candy.
So,
this confession with Pastor Jay.
I mean, I mean, you had pride. You had a little bit of pride, and you did. You talked about like candy, like it was like a narcotic and a drug.
I never got off of candy. I've always been on it. But no, it's like The money, so instead of spending money on cigarettes, I don't know how much cigarettes cost or a can of Copenhagen.
Do people still smoke cigarettes?
I think so.
People do that. That's
but that could, you could save a lot of money.
That's kind of like
you could redeem your money, you could redeem your time. But I think also just obedience. Like sometimes your heart, this might be, you know, stepping on some toes, but the whole like tithing. A lot of people don't tithe and they're not generous. And that is unplowed ground. And imagine trusting God with the tithe, breaking up that hard heart and that selfishness and wanting to hold
on. It's mine.
It's like, well, how do you break up that unplowed ground? Well, you be generous. You give it
God
away
instead of holding on to it. God don't need your money, bro.
Oh, he does not need your money.
He does it's not need us. Your money.
God can do more with 90%. And that's what I tell people all the time. God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. And I've never met someone who tithes that has gone in want, who's needing anything. Everybody I know who tithes, God has thrown open the floodgates of heaven with so much blessing. They don't have enough. They got to share it with other people. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
So I think that would be any area of disobedience is unplowed ground. Whatever. I just mentioned tithing, but not sharing our faith. Like we know we're supposed to tell people
commanded.
About Jesus.
We weren't asked.
So that's unplowed ground. That man, yeah. If you started sharing your faith, imagine more people entering the kingdom of God, like more lives being changed.
And I think first of all, talking about stepping on toes, we all have unplowed ground.
Yes.
Every single one of us. Yes. So he's not talking to just like you out there that's getting your feelings hurt about a certain topic. Like it's all these areas. Like we all have these different spiritual gifts that we walk in. Like some of us have different gifts than others. And that's what's cool. If we all were the same, mm-hmm. it would suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would suck. But so we have different gifts of evangelism, of prayer, of whatever it is for you that you get to walk in. But I do think that we have unplowed ground in our lives that we need to continually work on. And like, how can I continue to grow in this area? And how can God continue to use me in this area? Because it's an area where, sure, I might not be the best, but that's where I need God to do a work. That's where I need God to come mm-hmm. help me. That's where I need to confess. That's a struggle. Like that's an area where I need him to come in and continue to work with me. And this becomes something that I won't struggle with down the road if I can invite God into it and I can confess and I can give it to him, because he'll work. He will work. Mm-hmm. Like he'll work on all your different things. I've told y'all in the past, like I used to be one of the most judgmental people ever. Like I just looked at something. I haven't figured it out. Like somebody's bigger, what the heck are they doing? Like, what, you doing this? You're doing, I mean, it's literally judgmental. And
they're on steroids.
I mean, so I literally started, when I see those things, like God, take, that's not my heart. Like, I don't want to be that person. And so I think, you know, we can have some of that. The more we have of that in our lives to work on some of those weaknesses, it'll help them become stronger and they won't be as big mm-hmm. of a weakness.
Yeah. I think a simple application is just praying. Okay, God, what is the unplowed ground in my life? Like just asking God, like there may be some unplowed ground in your life that you didn't even realize it. And so,
well, how do you find that though? And that's what you're saying.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
It's the verse. Like, search my heart.
Yeah,
like God, search my heart.
Psalm 139.
Yeah, find those things. And like I've asked that prayer many times. And be careful when you ask that prayer, by the way. Like God, what am I doing that I'm not, that I shouldn't be doing? Like find it. I don't even know I'm doing it. Like, but yeah. where can I grow? Where yeah. can I become better?
So like one of it might be just getting up 30 minutes early and having a quiet time. Well, that's unplowed ground. Instead of sleeping, you know, till 6, wake up at 5:30. And use that 30 minutes to spend time with the Lord. Or maybe it's redeeming your lunch hour. And like instead of like at lunch, and that was the other thing during the fasting, you know, a lot of guys were fasting lunch and spending an hour in prayer. Like instead of, so what are you doing on your lunch hour? Are you looking at social media? Are you watching Netflix? Are you just mindlessly doing nothing?
No.
You could redeem that hour. That's unplowed ground that you could be using for something.
Well, and you don't have to redeem it. You don't have to redeem the whole hour.
Like, yeah, that's a good point.
Here's something like with me. I'm telling you, when I started my hot tub time, I told you, I set my timer for 20 minutes, my alarm. I checked my phone 7 times. I was like, surely that's been 20 minutes. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not pray for 20 minutes straight. I could not focus. I did not have enough to say. I didn't have a prayer. I didn't have a thought process in my head of how to do it. Like, I just didn't. And,
but I think that's so good for people to hear.
Well, I want them to hear that because then I went 4 minutes, I went 5 minutes, and then like now I can go 20 minutes of prayer and it's not that big of a deal, but I developed a system of how to pray and how to talk to God and what to bring to him. And I think, so 5 minutes of that lunch, you know, start with five. Mm-hmm. Like, it's overwhelming to do an hour. It's overwhelming to take all that time. But if I can start with a little bit and just take that little 5 minutes and be like, all right, 5 minutes before I start, I'm gonna make sure I pray. I'm gonna make sure I read real quick, find some scriptures, think about them, and then I'll do whatever I'm gonna do. And then if I can amp it up a little bit to 6 minutes, to 7 minutes, and start to build that capacity for it, I think don't just go the whole hour. It's just hard. It's you're probably not gonna be successful. But if you can start taking a little chunk at a time, I think you'll have a better chance to be successful.
The guy who discipled me in college is a guy named Wayman Prater, and he had this. I can't remember what he called it, but he called it he's talking about the quarter hour.
It was so impactful you can't remember it?
Well, I can't remember how he worded it, but it was basically, how are you maximizing an extra 15 minutes here or there? So let's just say I get to your house early for the podcast. I'm 15 minutes early. So I've got 15 minutes. You have 15, it's a 15-minute deal. Okay, how am I going to use this 15 minutes? Am I just going to scroll social media for 15 minutes? Am I going to read? Have a book that I'm going to read, or is there a podcast I'm going to listen to? Like, trying to maximize he was big on maximizing that
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
I like that.
That's kind of what you're saying. It doesn't have to be an hour. Hey, I got 20 minute drive from your house back to my office. How am I going to use it? What podcast am I going to listen to?
What do kids do now? 100%. You watch anybody in a line at Starbucks. The line at
they're
a restaurant.
They're on their phones.
You just scroll.
They're scrolling.
Like, you order. You can't even take 5 minutes while your order is being placed and think or and conversate or do anything. It's scroll. Mm-hmm. Scroll. Because it distracts me. It takes up the 5 minutes, the 10 minutes, and then it's there. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, people can't even do that nowadays.
And I think that's where we've lost some of our creativity because we're not bored. We're not bored anymore because we're easily entertained instead of like, hey, what am I going to do for 30 minutes or what phones, am I going to do for 15 minutes?
Phones are the worst, man.
So
Satan's greatest device. It really is, dude. I'm 100% convinced by it. Like, listen, protect your family, protect your kids. Like, have hard and fast rules, man. Like, keep the phones out of the bedroom. Keep the phones if you're in the car and that's something that's important to you, like with time. Like, no, we don't look at our phones in the car. We don't in our house. Like, road trips, you can 100%. But like, we're not on the phone. We're not jumping in our car and jumping on the phone. That's not our rule. Like, we're not going to be watching TV with our phone. Like, we don't need device on device. Like, we can watch TV and we can pick one device, right? Like, just have your hard and fast rules and be aware of it, man, because that's sucking the creativity and the kids out of kids. It's taking the playfulness, the joy, the zeal. It's taking it away. And you're letting other people influence them from all over the place that they usually wouldn't have access to unless you give them a phone.
Back, I kind of sound like an old man, which I guess I am an old man.
You are.
But back when I was growing up, South Mississippi. I mean, we were outside so much more. I remember, you know, I had my Huffy dirt bike, and we had woods behind my house. We built tree forts.
Found the dirty magazines.
That's where I found those dirty magazines. Is that what you remember, Wes?
Dirty magazines.
Magazines in the woods. Well, kids don't have to find dirty magazines in the woods anymore.
No.
But listen, Home Run Derby
part of that problem
in the driveway.
You're part of that problem, like. You could do that with your kid. You could take the phone and not give it to him and tell him to go do it, but you don't do it. Like, everybody that complains about that, like, back in my day, it used to be so much better. Well, do something about it. Like, I don't want my kid take their phone. Don't give them a phone. Like, just because everybody else has a phone isn't a reason for them to get a phone. If you want to get something done, get it done. Like, I don't understand that. Like, you can make their childhood more like yours if you want to. It's just going to take a lot of effort. And that's where I think people are like, nah, phone's easy.
When you could say that about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, but if that's important to you, and that's something that people, I've heard people talk about that. That's not what we did back in our day. Well, get the phone out of their hand. Be their dad. Be their mom. Like that, you control that if it's important to you. I mean, it's pretty simple. We didn't give our kids phones for a long time, and they were way behind everybody else. But Nicholas was in eighth grade playing airsoft outside with his buddies, with 15, 20 buddies, and loved it. Like, loved to go do it. He has a phone now. He ain't playing airsoft anymore. I mean, you know, like, it's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, but it's our decisions, and it's our consequences. I just, you know, well, I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. I think what made me think about that is you could break up some unplowed ground in your kids' lives. You know what I mean? Like, you could create some time for them.
Yep.
But I think the best thing, the unplowed ground, is saturating our hearts and minds in the Word and in prayer and trying the best we can to be the good soil, to have a soft heart, to be receptive of the Word of God. And hopefully God's Word, God's seed, is going to fall in good soil.